Welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com. I'm Rob Cressy, and I'm super excited to be jamming with you. And joining me to talk about NFL futures is Sean Lockhart, sports betting consultant. You can follow him on Twitter at The Real Papa Bear. Sean, great to have you back on the show.
Thanks for having me back on, Rob. It's always fun to dive in, get a little football chatter, get a little football juices going here in the beginning of summer.
Right now, my football fandom is at a 15 out of 10. I am so excited. I loved watching the NFL draft. I loved betting the NFL draft. Right now is the greatest time for football fans because every team is 0-0 and there is hope and optimism on the horizon. We hopefully filled the needs for our teams that we are looking to in the draft. You've got some young, shiny objects who are going to make things better. Oh, does it feel good? But that also means there are opportunities for us as bettors because I see a lot of shiny objects and media noise out there, which may or may not be reflected in the betting market. So before we get to the NFL, what I want to do is find out a little bit more about what's cooking in your world, in the world of sports betting. Number one, did you bet the NFL draft? And if so, how did it go for you?
I did bet the NFL draft. It's become an event, and there's incredible value. Actually, you watch some of these numbers move. I went 2-2, but I did hit my bigger bet. It was on that safety with some back injuries falling. I thought he might fall in the first round, but I was over under at 21.5. The Titans actually got him at 22, so I nicked it by a half point, I would say, a half position. But yeah, I made a little bit of money on the draft. But as you said, you can't really get large sums of money down on these predetermined outcomes. So it was some smaller bets for me, but man, it did get my NFL juices flowing. I love putting in time in already researching football, and the draft is something I definitely look forward to every year, trying to make a little money, squeeze a little money out of it for sure.
On my end, I went about 500. I was fortunate because we had Doug Kazarian from Daily Wager on the podcast the day before, and he'd mentioned Hammer Kyle Pitts, and that was the second time that I heard that, so that was good. And we had Elliot Christ on the podcast the week before, and he said to hammer J.C. Horn, so that was good.
I was on Horn as well. Good pick. I had him 12 and a half. What number did you get Horn at?
13.5.
Sharper than I. Yeah, that was a good pick either way, though. Top 10.
So one of the things that was unfortunate, and especially as we're looking at J.C. Horn, so I was looking to get the first cornerback or first defensive player taken, and by the time the draft or closer to their got, the odds were not nearly what I would be looking for. So, for example, first cornerback drafted Patrick Surtain was like minus 200 and J.C. Horn was plus 125. And I'm like, plus 125 doesn't really seem that appealing to me as opposed to when it was kicking at plus 300 earlier on. And then one thing that crushed me was Mac Jones, because early on it was Mac Jones, Mac Jones, Mac Jones. And I believed in it and it made sense. And I even got it at like minus 145, which at one point got up to as high as minus 300. And then the news of Trey Lance came out and I knew I was dead immediately, because the late move is the correct move. When you see that steam, I'm like, I'm on the wrong side. So I looked to try and get out of the position. And the way that I was trying to do that was DraftKings gave the option to choose the first five. And I saw it pretty clearly. We knew it was Lawrence. We knew it was going to be Wilson. And then Trey Lance, Pitts. And then you could have your combination of Jamar Chase or Sewell. And unfortunately, those cunning people at DraftKings decided to not include the Lance, Pitts, Chase combination in their list of odds that you could choose. There was every other combination except for that one. So I couldn't get out of it. And that's when I knew I was dead in the water, because that was my way out of it. I wasn't going to bet Trey Lance at minus 200 or whatever he was at then. But if I could have hedged on the first five, but DraftKings took that off the board, which I knew for me is a sign that that was what was going to happen. And related to this, I actually want to give one observation that I've noticed in betting on DraftKings and FanDuel. A lot of times they give these promotional odds boosts. Hey, we'll take something at plus 200 and make it plus 250. I've seen more times than not those are losing bets. And I'll give you an example. When the Bulls made the trade for Nikola Vucevic from the Magic, everyone's excited about the Bulls. And it was, will the Bulls play a first round playoff game, which means they had to not be in the play in game, or they had to win one of those games. They're like, we'll boost it from plus 200 to plus 250. I'm a Bulls fan, but I also like to try and make money. So I'm really excited about the Bulls. But then I just sat there and I was like, well, wait a second. From the times that I can remember DraftKings offering these promotional boosts to me, more often than not, they're losing in some inexplicable manner. And guess what? I stayed away from it. And it was yet another example from myself. I didn't do it. That bet's going to lose right away. So I just want to caution everyone who sees these odds boosts, because one of the odds boosts was first five, including Mac Jones as the number three. And this was like 3 days before. We'll boost it from plus 125 to plus 200. And I'm like, oh, that looks good. But I was like, they don't give away free money unless it's literally straight free money.
No, you picked up something there, Rob. It's one of the oldest tricks in the book. You go to the casino, even you play blackjack. They always have those little bonus. You put a dollar, or they have some goofy game where if you tie the dealer, you make some money. Or if you get queen, queen, you could get a jackpot, queen of diamonds, queen of diamonds. They don't offer that bet because the house is losing money on that bet. They offer that because it is a sucker bet in a way. So I like that you picked up on that. Also, I got fooled by the Trey Lance or the third pick by the Niners. I got fooled by that pump fake too. So don't feel bad about that. When I locked in my NFL draft picks too a week before, because I generally like to get better numbers. And as you mentioned, the draft day steam is generally always true. And right when that happened, I knew Trey Lance was going number three. I knew I was going to lose a bet. However, my bigger bet, that Farley bet, the Virginia Tech DB, I locked in a good number, 21 and a half with him earlier in the week. By draft day, he was like 26 and a half. I would have lost that bet if I would have waited till draft day to place my bets. So overall, I made some money, got better numbers. You just got to, at the end of the day, did you win or did you lose? But I like those lessons. You always include what you're learning through your gambling journey. And I think that helps people out incredibly, especially when you're taking advantage of some of these DraftKings. And when they offer, they don't just throw free things at. They're not there to lose money. So it is keen to always kind of take a look at that and think about it. Double think it sometimes.
So here's the thing that you need to realize, because these online books are notorious for giving free money. Hey, we're going to do the thing if the Lakers Pistons game goes over this number. And for every bet that comes, we're going to drop the total 1 point to where essentially if they score 3 points in the game, you automatically win, limit of $50. So we're used to these almost like free roll bets that they have. But this is the other side of things that I'm noticing on my end, because that's where the notifications are coming. Hey, new promotion for you. Hey, new promotion for you. And you see these and you're like, oh, this looks so nice. Oh, you know what another one was that killed me in March Madness? It was Michigan State, UCLA. And all the steam was on Michigan State. But they said, you know what? We'll just give it to you money line and we'll make it to you plus 100. And I'm like, I know I don't want to be on Michigan State, but if you're giving me plus money and no spread, I'm going to take it. And what ended up happening? Of course, UCLA wins. And I'm like, oh my God, how am I not seeing this?
That one sounds, I'd probably jump on that one too. And I mean, you bring up an old wound. I was on Michigan State in that game as well. And I would have loved to have them at even odds, but man, I believe that game went to overtime, but Michigan State was up by like 7 with a minute left. Oh, it's all right. Let's not talk about
it. So here's the thing about this mindset. Then we'll get to the NFL, 'cause I think there are learning lessons here. In the case of that Michigan State bet, for me, that was a logical upside bet, where even if it was a coin flip, you're telling me I'm getting a favorite at plus money, boom, I'm going to take that. Whereas something like that Bulls bet that I talked about, where they're just going from plus 200 to plus 250, not really that enticing. So sometimes I'm cool with saying, you know what, we will win some of these, but it's got to be a lot more enticing than me just getting an extra line bump than some of these things that are out there.
No, I think you're spot on there, Rob.
So, all right, let's get to some of the things that we're going to take advantage of or that we see in the market post NFL draft. So like I mentioned at the top, Where my mindset is right now with NFL futures betting is that I want to be contrarian to what I'm seeing in the market, because everyone's falling in love with the shiny object that is Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Justin Fields, Trey Lance, insert any team that got a high draft pick and got to do something. But here's the thing that people fail to realize every single year. The teams who are drafting the highest and with the most picks are the worst teams in the league. They have the most holes to fill. And this also works for me when it comes to free agency. You traditionally see the best teams not making the most moves. So the market would be like, they didn't do much to improve themselves. Yeah, because they didn't need to. The teams who are not good have holes all over the place, so they need to. So it's built in where you can see the improvement of a bad team, but you don't realize that a good team can continue to stay good.
Spot on. And another angle that I like, if we're looking at win totals or, you know, that, or draft, everyone looks at their draft picks and they want to bet their team's win total over, or someone wants to take the Jags over. Now, you know, Bears fans, oh, they got Fields, they're all hype, they want to take the Bears over. So when you're looking at season win total, so this year, you know, there's 32 NFL teams, they play 17 games. I said this before, but you add up how many wins there are that any team could have, that it should average out. You add up what these books are offering, all the win totals, right? All 32 of their number is going to be higher than the actual possible amount of wins. So it is a mathematical edge in my mind to take an under. Everyone always wants to bet their team's over. They're excited. You want to walk up to a window, place money on an over. That's what most people want to bet. I bet NFL team season team totals unders. That's generally where I lean. And I like when you can get plus money as well, the ones that aren't juiced out. And the one that I just want to go over a little bit is maybe the 49ers under their, it's set at 10.5. The under is at plus money. It's at plus money. And I do like that under. Just everyone looks at the Niners from last year. They think they had a lot of injuries, and this year they're, oh, they'll be healthier. Well, I think health is a big luck factor. And then they have a QB controversy now with the quarterback they just drafted. And I also think they're just in the most difficult division in all of football. I think the Rams are going to be improved with Stafford. I think the Cardinals are going to be improved. And the Seahawks are not going anywhere. I like that 49ers under. Everyone's betting the over. There's money coming in on the over. It's juice. I just like that under. 10.5 is a big number. That's where I'd kind of start our conversation, taking an under.
I love your thought process, because I am doing the exact same thing. Remember, we'll say this every single time, shop the number, because you might see some tens at plus money or 10.5 at a huge vig at minus 145. So that's the other thing. There's a lot of heavy juice on some of these favorites, seeing minus 143 and minus 155. And the odds that I'm going to be giving are coming from DraftKings. So I've got three that I identified that caught my eye right away. Doesn't mean that I'm doing this, but let's go back to the mindset of this, all plus money. For everything we're going to talk about today, I looked strictly for plus money, because I want to be on the opposite side of everyone. Number one, Tampa under 11.5 plus 103. So it's very easy for us to fall in love with all of the Tampa narratives. And last year I was actually on the same side of, let's not fall in love with all the Tampa narratives, but it is not easy to repeat in any year. Plus, this total at 11.5 means this has to be a 12 win team. They can win 11 and not win this bet. So do we believe from a regular season standpoint that this Tampa team is going to show up as much as they did last year? I'm not ready to believe that. If I can get plus money in Tampa only wins 11 games, to me, that seems like it makes sense. I'm not saying it's the best bet in the world, but it stood out to me because everyone wants to say Tampa's returning all their starters. Tampa's the greatest thing we've ever seen in the world. I'm looking for reasons to fade Tampa.
I like that. I like that angle. Give me your other two. Keep on. I had one more. I wonder if you're going to hit it.
All right. We've got Carolina over 7.5 plus 107. And the reason for this is I believe in Matt Rhule. I like the plus number. Carolina showed me a lot last year. And I think in their division with Atlanta, they're a roller coaster. The Saints, no more Drew Brees. And what I just said from Tampa, imagine if Carolina somehow got a game from Tampa. You're telling me they just need to get to 8 wins? Doesn't mean I'm exactly in love with taking the over, but once again, it's something that I at least identified on the plus category. And then the last one, Titans over 9.5 plus 133, because the Titans were a team that are in playoff contention. They're good. Doesn't mean I'm in love with them, but I love the number plus 133.
I loved your Panthers take. As I said, Rhule, great coach. And then Darnold too. I mean, that you get away from Adam Gase and the Jets, you get away from the Jets and you're going on to a team that actually has a, I love that one as well. Mine is actually the Bears under. So I was going to get, I know you're there in Chicago. I was going to get a little taste of yours. So it's set at like 7.5, which seems super low, right? The Bears, a popular team. Why are they set it at 7.5? I mean, there's a QB controversy in a way, but you're deciding between a rookie and Andy Dalton, which is not, you know, we're not looking at these MVP candidates necessarily. They're going to be starting a rookie left tackle that played right tackle in college. So the running game and their right tackle that I don't really like him either. So I don't know how they're going to get a running game going, but I was curious your take on what you're hearing there in Chicago about the Bear, your local Bears.
So everything's super excitement oriented, but I remember something that I heard Mike Lombardi say once that stuck in my head. And I like to sort of acquire information from a variety of sources. And he said, you shouldn't expect rookies to have significant contributions to your team, because if so, that's a problem. It doesn't mean that rookies aren't going to. We saw Justin Jefferson go bananas last year. We see it every year. But as a rule of thumb, if we think that some rookie classes are going to come in here and immediately be like, look at me, I'm pimping out in the NFL, doesn't exactly work that way. So right now, a lot of the steam on the Bears is Justin Fields. We got a new offensive lineman, all of this different stuff. Yeah, maybe in year 2/3, but I wouldn't say I'm more optimistic for the Bears as a whole than I am optimistic for the Bears as a taking their win total, because they were supposed to be a team built on defense. But when we look at their final stats, their defense wasn't all that last year.
No, that's exactly what I wanted to hear. And it's true. Everyone gets so hyped for these rookies. And when there's probably like 10 to 15% actually make a huge contribution to their team that improves, maybe adds a win to the win season total. So I love to find these teams that the Bears, the Cowboys, like you said, the Bucks, just popular teams that people want to go bet their overs and kind of try to find an angle to find the under. 49ers under, Bears under, that's where you'll probably find it once these numbers come out in some books that I can access.
Are you looking to take advantage of the chaos that's going on in Green Bay right now, where we have a higher variance opportunity? And some books actually took this no longer as betting options, but for the ones who do, number one, the Packers can go under regularly, nonetheless, with any chaos with Aaron Rodgers right now. And I just know from a general rule of thumb for success, having your franchise quarterback not being happy with how everything is going on isn't the recipe for the ticket that I want to have an over on.
No, I mean, I can't touch it. Even when you look at quarterbacks or any player actually who's most affects an NFL spread, right? It's Mahomes and it's Rodgers. I think Rodgers even above Mahomes when these odds makers are making these lines. So to have that guy or to not have that guy is such an extreme. I could see maybe laying some money on some long, like the Broncos, or if you have some idea of where he might go, then maybe take some of those long shot plus odds. But until that is a stable that he's either coming back or I know which team he's going to, I'm not touching any of that.
I don't think it would make sense to try and be Miss Cleo and pick which team he's going to go to, because I don't really see this as, I feel like there's more of an advantage to fade the Packers than there is to be like, maybe he'll replace Derek Carr. That's just a shot in the dark. But you know, on the Packers side, there's a myriad of things that could happen. Even if he is playing there, the team just might not be as good as they were based on the high number. Because remember, they're one of the top five teams to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, no, I just want, if I'm placing some of my hard earned money on something, I want it to be concrete and in stone. I don't want, yeah, like you said, being Miss Cleo and just taking a shot in the dark where he might go. So I'm going to wait to see how that all plays out before getting money involved with the Packers.
So as we get to our futures bet, another thing that we say often, I'm not investing a significant amount of my bankroll in this. This is an exercise in identifying value, things we like in the market, and helping you think about ways to think about sports betting. So when I looked at all of the futures, the least attractive futures market for me was the Super Bowl odds, because it ties up for so much and there's so long that needs to go into all of that. But what is the most attractive to me? And the two that were most attractive to me were division winner and to make the playoffs. So I've got five bets from to make the playoffs that stood out to me, all plus money. Remember, everything I'm going to give is plus money. So number one, the Steelers at plus 154 for a yes. So yes, I'm a Steelers fan, but what I do know is the media is telling us why the Steelers are not going to be good. But what I do know to be true is that the Steelers have a potentially elite defense. I know they lost Bud Dupree, but they also did lose Devin Bush at that same time. So that's where the precipitous drop happened. Devin Bush is going to come back in. And as it relates to Ben Roethlisberger and the offense, this is a team that went 11. They won 11-0 to start, and I think they finished with 12 wins. And Mike Tomlin goes 8-8 every season that he's a coach there. So you're telling me if I just look at history, and we have a Steelers team that you know is at least going to be in the hunt, and I'm getting plus 154, for me, history just says this is just a smart bet for me to make.
I like that bet. Like that, as you said, history. And it doesn't help being a Steelers fan that you got something to root for. They even brings more joy to you watching those games. Can't hate on that bet. When we were looking at, I found a long shot that I really like because I wanted to come on and give away. As you said, we're giving away all plus money. But I like this bet. I'm actually going to lock this in probably later tonight, even for my own clients. But I looked at those MVP odds. Matt Stafford to win NFL MVP. I know it's going to tie your money in for a long time, but a small bet. It's 17-1. 17-1. So you could put a half unit, a quarter unit, a tenth of a unit on this. I love this bet, though. I really think this is the best football situation he's ever been in. He finally escaped the Detroit Lions, one of the worst franchises, one of the worst run franchises in all the league. He's going to the Rams, where he's behind a great defense, phenomenal defense. And then he's got a ton of toys, ton of weapons he could throw to. And he's got a great head coach who can scheme. If the, say, the Rams finish with the best record in football and he has a great season, he easily could win MVP. 17-1. Give me Matt Stafford, 17-1 to win MVP.
I like it. That actually, I can follow that narrative. That makes sense. Gets him out of Detroit, puts him in a winning organization. I'm down with that. Let me give you four to make the playoff options. If there's one that you like and one of them is actually in your backyard, the Bucks to miss the playoffs, plus 490. Plus 490. We've got the Cardinals to make the playoffs, plus 190. If everyone liked the Cardinals last year, what do we think about them making the playoffs this year? The Colts to miss the playoffs, plus 163. What's to say that Carson Wentz isn't as good as everybody thought he was? That's completely possible. And then the last one, I love this. The Browns to miss the playoffs, plus 163, because here's the new thing about the Browns. Everyone loves them. Are they a top three franchise in terms of talent in the NFL right now? Everyone's loving that. But guess what? Now the Browns are the hunted, and they're in a division with Baltimore and Pittsburgh, who are models of consistency of winning. And are we sure Baker Mayfield's the one that we really want to build everything on? Or can you see where they take a step back and you're getting plus money on that?
Oh, I like how your Browns bet also kind of correlates to your Steelers to make the playoff bet as well. I love how you're fading the GOAT, Tom Brady, and the Bucks. And what if he gets injured or something? I mean, those are some crazy odds for the Bucks to not make the playoffs. I love that. You might as well roll with it. And then the Cardinals to make the playoffs, you're speaking my language. This is really an all or nothing season for the Cardinals. I mean, J.J. Watt's in town now. I like their draft. I don't want to let my bias get in there, but Kyler Murray in another year of experience, the weapons that the Cardinals have, it is a very tough division, but I already kind of sold on the 49ers earlier in this podcast. I am right there with you with agreeing with everything you just said. And I probably will jump on that Cardinals to make the playoffs. That interests me. And then I looked at the rookie of the year odds, and that, you, like I said, you tie up money for a long time. I didn't like too much of it, and it kind of seems square, but I mean, Lord, you get Trevor Lawrence at plus 270. It just makes sense to me in a way, because he's just going to get the opportunities. And if Gardner Minshew could have some success with those weapons around him, I just think sticking Trevor Lawrence in there, I know it's going to be a new coach and a lot of, but he's just going to get the reps. And I don't really believe in the Fields. I really don't believe in Wilson for the Jets. I think that was just an awful lot. I actually have some local BYU players that I kind of affiliate with around here in Arizona, and kind of asked him, like, what do you think of that guy? And he was like, literally, they didn't think he was even a great quarterback. And then all of a sudden this year, they had that phenomenal year in COVID, but the Coastal Carolina was the best defense they played against. I think he's a bust. Lance, I like Trevor Lawrence, maybe rookie of the year odds there is the best QB to come out of the plus 270 as well. We're giving away plus picks. I like it.
All right, so let's dig into this for a second. So you and I had this exact same podcast 1 year ago, and I looked back at my notes. Quarterbacks win rookie of the year half of the time, and only twice in recent memory has a wide receiver won, Percy Harvin and Odell Beckham Jr. So number one, you're looking at the quarterback, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, Trey Lance, Mac Jones. Mac Jones is sitting there at plus 1,200. That appeals to me a lot more than the other ones do. Lawrence is going to be on a bad team. I don't think they're going to win enough. I have zero faith in Zach Wilson whatsoever. I'm with you on the Justin Fields under on the Bears and Trey Lance on the 49ers. I'm actually not sure if he's the starter. Like, Jimmy G could be there. So I'm not in love with the quarterbacks. So you look at Najee Harris sitting there at plus 1,000 and being a Steelers fan, I subscribe to DK Pittsburgh Sports, who is one of the beat reporters. And they said, what can you expect from Najee Harris in year one by looking at Le'Veon Bell's year one? And in 2013, Le'Veon Bell had 1,259 total yards from scrimmage, 45 receptions and 8 touchdowns, and he missed 3 games. So the Steelers could make the playoffs. Let's say they're a double-digit win team. So what does he have to his advantage? Well, one, he is the featured back. There is no one else there who is going to stop him from getting it. Number two, they're going to look to run the ball a lot more because Ben Roethlisberger is 100 years old. And three, I just think that if it's not a quarterback, he's going to be someone who has the ball in his hands all the time. I'm not in love with the other quarterbacks actually being on winning organizations, even though traditionally taking a quarterback to win makes the most sense. Mac Jones is sitting there at plus 1200. So if I wanted to take one, could they win the division somehow? Maybe. I like those odds more because I believe in the Patriots more than I do the bottom feeders who got the new quarterbacks.
Yeah, you're right. The only one I'm really worried about is your Pittsburgh Steelers running back, as you just covered there, because that does frighten me to death. I also have to chase the receiver for the Bengals. I mean, the Bengals are going to be losing in a lot of games. They're going to be throwing to catch up. I think he just is as talented as Justin Jefferson, and Justin Jefferson was this close to winning too. So those scare me, but I just think there's going to be some usage, and there's always a little bias, as you mentioned, on quarterbacks. But I'm not too worried about Mac Jones. Don't tell Peralta that, but I think he's going to be a statue back there getting lit up for the Patriots. But we'll see.
I think the challenge with Chase is Jefferson's numbers were out of this world, like one of the best receiving years ever, and Justin Herbert still beat him out. So it's no shade on Chase or Jefferson. It's just the wide receiver position just isn't valued as much in this offensive rookie of the year betting.
It's not. I mean, the Chargers didn't have that great of a year either. He played on a bad team technically, but no, I'm right there with you. I think Harris is, he's a Pittsburgh running back. I mean, that was the perfect draft pick for them, and man, it scares me a little bit. You'll probably find him on some of my fantasy teams coming up this season. I won't lie.
So let's get at it on this. I really liked some of the division winner opportunities right there. So we spoke about the Bears and the Packers. Packers are sitting at minus 115 to win the division. Vikings plus 250. So with all the rumblings of what's going on right now in Green Bay, there could be an opportunity there. I'm not on the Bears and I'm not on the Lions, so I don't mind plus 250 for the Vikings. Looking over at the NFC West, the Seahawks plus 300. They are actually the third. You got the Rams, who are favored, 49ers and Seahawks. So if we all believe in Russell Wilson, I don't see a reason why they can't win that division. Looking at the NFC East, super gross. All the teams are in plus money, which blows my mind. Washington plus 260, Giants plus 400. If you wanted to fade the Cowboys, there's two opportunities right there. And then my last one, looking at the AFC North, the Steelers are plus 400, a team that won the division last year. Ravens are plus 120, Browns are plus 150. You're telling me I can get plus 400 for a team that won the division last year? To me, unbiasedly, that just sounds like an opportunity, because I'm looking at 400s, 400s, 300s, plus 250s. Give me these big numbers that have a great opportunity. What do you think?
I love that you're going all pushing all your chips on the Steelers. If they make the playoffs, make the Super Bowl, I mean, you're going to make a lot of money next season and be incredibly happy. So I like that you're thinking there. I like fading the Cowboys as well. I would probably go with one of your original thoughts too, of Tampa Bay, maybe not winning, or maybe Tampa Bay, you know, they don't care as much about the regular season. They sneak in on the wild card. The Panthers, I'm going to be high on the Panthers this year. I really am. I believe in Darnold. I do, which is frightening, but it's Rhule and Darnold. There's some long shot odds. The Falcons, I don't think the Falcons are getting that much better. Give me the Panthers as a long shot odds, maybe to win that division, sneak past the Bucks. I think they're numbered super, super high. So
plus 1,100.
That's another. I got the Stafford to win MVP, 1,700. Panthers, 1,100. I like that. Those are some all. And Lawrence is plus 270 for rookie of the year. So this was, we'll call this the plus money podcast. I love it.
I love this. This is the plus money podcast. And what I would challenge you to do is to sit there in week 7 and say to yourself, what did we not see that could happen? So looking at that NFC South, could the Saints not be as good? 100%. Could the Falcons not be as good? 100%. Could Tampa be the same or a slight tick down? You can see the narrative where the Panthers could be better. I think for them, it all comes down to, can their defense improve? And is Sam Darnold who he was drafted to be? Because we know from a receiver weapon standpoint, they've got a lot. And you would really say, I'm believing in Matt Rhule to lift the organization up as a whole, which isn't out of the question, because we see these young Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan, these coaches who come and get the opportunity, and 2 years later, they flip everything around.
Yeah, I mean, Sam Darnold's best weapon in the Jets was Jameson Crowder, was his wide receiver one. And he was hurt probably 35, 40% of the games. And he's playing in the AFC East against these teams that, like, Bill Belichick game scheme. Give him a chance on a good team. I think he's very underrated. The Panthers, I believe in Rhule. Let's make it happen. Go Panthers.
So to put a button on all of this, the reason we gave out plus money for all of this is you're going to be a lot happier sitting with these longer shot tickets when everyone is telling you how everything is going to happen by the book. And we just saw in the NFL draft, everything does not go by the book. So you want to sort of be ahead of where everybody else is going. And that's why we at least want to present the opportunities for you. Instead of saying, why are all the favorites going to do well? We want to say, why would some of the other opportunities that are built in there actually have some advantages for us?
No, it's about finding value. You watch ESPN or these shows, they'll pick the winner of the game. It might be a 14-point spread. All five of them, the experts, will pick the favorite. Or when they're going over the divisions, people will pick the Bucks to win that division. It's just, you got to find other angles. You can't just go by what everyone is thinking. That's where the value is generally.
Sean, love jamming with you. Where can everybody connect with you?
I'm at Twitter, at DaDaReal, R-E-A-L, P-A-P-A, Papa Bear on Twitter. Giving away picks all the time. You just follow me. I'm betting every day, talking sports every day. So give me a follow.
And I want to hear from you. How did the NFL draft go for your action? And do you have any NFL futures action? We would love to hear from you. You can hit me up on Twitter at Rob Cressy. Also make sure to tag at Covers. And remember, if you want to be a sharp, don't be a square with your bankroll. Be disciplined with your money management. The
one, two, three, your pen. I get action, so everybody jump, put your up. If you like the way the sound, pump, pump it in your back trunk. And let loose with the juice when I do rock. I'm too hot, some say I got more juice than Tupac.